You might want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. It's where we'll start this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. Today we're going to talk about sisters in the church. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the ladies in our church, for their diligence, their participation, their service. Help us today to understand together the role of sisters in the church and to lift them up and honor them for all they do. Give us understanding as we search your scriptures. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So just as we started out last week, there is a Mother's Day, there is a Father's Day, there is a Children's Day. And last week we learned there is actually a National Brother's Day, and that was on May 24th, so last week we talked about the brotherhood. We're not going to wait until August when there's a Sister's Day. We'll deal with Sister's Day today. How about that? While all of us are considered part of the brotherhood in Christ, women in the church are referred to as sisters. And in that passage that we read a little bit earlier, we take note of Sister Phoebe, and we'll talk about her in a little bit. Now, the role of women in the church today is much confused. And a lot of it has to do with the influence of feminism in our society. Recently, the role of women became a much discussed controversy when the Kansas City Chiefs football kicker gave a speech, maybe some of you heard about this, to a college graduating class. And in that speech, he said this: "I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross the stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world." He says, "I can tell you that my beautiful wife Isabel would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and a mother." Well, he garnered a lot of criticism, if you can imagine, from the general public. And in the days since his speech, an organization called Change.org petitioned the Kansas City Chiefs to dismiss Butker for discriminatory remarks. And that petition garnered 19,000 signatures. In the petition, they said this: "These comments reinforce harmful stereotypes that threaten social progress. They create a toxic environment that hinders our collective efforts toward equality, diversity, and inclusion in society." So I guess inclusion includes everybody that doesn't disagree with you. But if you disagree and hold to traditional values, you're not included. Well, unfortunately, the role of women in the church has become equally controversial today. And in many churches, women hold leading positions, and in some lots more places today than before, women serve as pastors. So what does the Bible say about the role of our sisters in the church? We'll start with what your role is not, and then we'll move on from there. Deal with the negative first. Get that out of the way. And then go on to the positive. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Note that this does not say women are not to teach. It only says they're not to teach men. And then the word nor puts two things together. On the one hand, women are not to teach men, and on the other hand, women are not to usurp authority over the man. The word usurp, to seize, to overcome, to occupy without right, to exercise dominion over. The point being, according to this verse in God's word, and you can see the words on the page, I'm not making it up, it's in the Bible, women are not to teach men, nor to be leaders in the church, such as pastors or elders, etc. And what does the silence part mean here? Well, I think it refers specifically to being teachers over men and having authority over men. It's the context. I think there are other ways that women can legitimately have a voice within the church. Now, as far as teaching men is concerned, I think this is only in the context of our assembly together. Would you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. Where it says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together? That's the context of these verses of Scripture. When ye come together, we are now come together. This is the context in which this is being stated. Verse 34 says, let your women keep silence in the churches. It is in the context of when we come together. But then we have this. Go over to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born out of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And when he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they, do you see the word they, took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Isn't it clear from that Priscilla participated in teaching Apollos the way of God more perfectly? But this was not in the assembly. No, it's clear to me that men can learn something from women, but in a private setting, in an individual setting, and not in the assembly. I think Scripture makes the distinction rather clear. Women are not to be pastors and preachers and teachers of men in the assembly. But there are times we can learn something from the ladies. And then the question comes about, what about music? If women are to keep silence in the church, what about their participating in music in the assembly? Well, I have an answer for you. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 25. In the Old Testament, women were not allowed to be priests or to serve in the temple or to offer sacrifices. Correct? But when King Josiah died, notice what it says. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentation to this day. They're singing women in the Old Testament. Even though they could not have the role of leadership, be an elder of a tribe or serve as a priest, they could participate in the services of the temple by singing. We have Ezra chapter 2 and verse 65, when the people of Israel returned to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple of all things. There were singing men and singing women in the group who were going to serve there. Ezra chapter 2 and verse 65. Then there is the role of women in teaching children. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, he says of Timothy, and I believe he says this is where your faith came from, their testimony in your life. Go over to chapter 3, verse 14, where he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, who are we to think taught these things to Timothy? If he mentions his mother and grandmother in chapter 1, and then in verse 15 here in chapter 3 says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, Paul didn't know Timothy as a child. He only met him when he was a little older. And so obviously it was the grandmother and the mother who taught Timothy as a child. Now, granted, these women are teaching their own son and grandson, but the point, I think, is that we have women teaching children in Scripture, and that's absolutely appropriate. And then there is this in Titus chapter 2. And verse 3, the aged women, I think I mentioned this before, don't be taken aback by the word aged. It simply is referring to someone who is older than you. And if you are old enough to be someone's mother, according to the term that is used in this verse in verse 4, that they may teach the young women. That word young women in the Greek language is a very interesting word because it's not age identifying. It simply means they're younger than you. So if you're a lady of 60 years old, you could have an influence on a younger woman, say she's 35 years old. But if you're 35 years old, you could have influence on a younger lady, even 15 years old. That's the sense in which this is presented. You who have learned something in your life can have an influence on those that are younger than you. That's simply what this passage of Scripture is saying. It's not suggesting that you have to be old to fit into this category of aged women. And you don't have to be necessarily an adult to fit into the category of younger women. It's all relative terminology saying that if you have learned something in your life about the things of the Lord, you have the privilege and the responsibility of passing that on to those who are younger than you. And that's an important role in the church as well. And then we have this lady named Phoebe. Would you go to Romans chapter 16 and verse 1? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Phoebe has an interesting name. It's actually the name of a Greek goddess, the moon goddess of the Greeks. The sun was called Phoebus, and the moon Phoebe. Also, it tells us that she is located in the city of Cenchrea at the end of the verse, verse 1. Cenchrea was the eastern harbor of the Greek city of Corinth. We can take from all of this that she was a Gentile with a heritage of idolatry, but at some point, in spite of her family history, had come to know the Lord. And now she is our sister. Phoebe was a servant of the local church, which was at Cenchrea. It says in verse 1, this word servant in the Greek language is the feminine form of deacon. It's not translated deaconess because the Bible never endorses that as an office. The word deacon was originally a generic word that meant you are a servant, and thus she was a servant of the church. She had a voice in the church by the way she served. In restaurants, we used to call them waiters and waitresses, but we had to come up with a generic term for all of them. But it's kind of appropriate. They're called what? Servers. And what do? They serve us. We sit at the table and they go get all the stuff and bring it to us. That's the concept of serving. Phoebe served the people. She helped them in whatever way she could. And then it tells us in verse 2, in the latter part of the verse, see the sentence where it says, "For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also." I have a difficult time pronouncing that word. I even looked it up on the internet how to pronounce it, S-U-C-C-O-U-R-E-R. It's a difficult word for me, but it means that she was someone who considered herself a protector and a guardian of those who needed help. A protector and guardian. It tells us this woman was generous. She was kind. She was compassionate. And she was strong. And not only did she help many, she helped Paul himself. He was personally receptive of her ministry in his life at the end of verse 2. But she had come on some business. It says in verse 2 of Romans 16 that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. Receive her, welcome her. Not to be like Diotrephes. Remember Diotrephes from 3 John? He loved to have the preeminence. In fact, he refused to receive believers who traveled to his place. He wouldn't even receive John the Apostle. If you didn't come into his place and bow down to him and act like he was some very special person, he had no time for you. Paul says, don't be like that. Here's a lady, a sister in the church, who has given her life to serve. What ways in particular that she has served, we don't know for sure. But now she's on a mission. It says, Receive her in the Lord. Give her respect as a fellow believer, as equal to all other Christians. Even though women fill different roles from men in the church, they are never to be treated as anything less than equal partners in the grace of God. There is neither male nor female in the body of Christ. We are all one. And then it says in verse 2, a sister in whatsoever business she hath need of you. We're not sure exactly what this business was, but we might have a hint of it. Go to the very end of the chapter, the very end of the book of Romans. Do you have something written in fine print after the last verse? Where it says, written to the Romans from Corinthus and sent by Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. Now, that's not part of the inspired word, but I believe it's historically significant. Apparently, we know Paul did write the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, while he was at Corinth. And since she was nearby in the port and obviously had become familiar with Paul because she had been a succor of him and ministered to him personally, there was the need for this letter to be carried to the Romans. Somehow it came about that Phoebe is the one who carried this portion of scripture and took it to the Roman church. Perhaps it was Paul wanted some kind of response. I'm speculating. But whatever the business was, they were to assist her. She was on a business trip for the church. Interesting. Sounds pretty important to me that a lady would be given this level of responsibility, carrying a parchment of scripture, handwritten by the Apostle Paul, across the sea to Rome and conduct some business with the church there before she returns. There's an old cliche that says, behind every successful man is a good woman. You ever hear that one? Well, let me adjust that a little bit and say this. Behind every successful local church, there is a group of faithful sisters. We must validate the vital role of women in the church. And when our sisters commit themselves to serving the Lord in the local church, it is a noble vocation. It is a divine calling, and it is necessary to the health of every local church. Our sisters in the Lord, we thank you for your service. It's a noble thing to serve. After all, remember the verse I read at the beginning of the service. Jesus himself took the form of a what? A servant. Aren't we all to serve one another? In spite of our roles, no one role is more important than the other. Roles just are different. They're assigned by God. To men are assigned the roles of pastor and elder, to Our sisters are assigned the roles of singing and teaching children and encouraging other women, and even sometimes doing some very important business for the local church. It's a noble thing. If Jesus can serve us, then we can honor our sisters for serving him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of our ladies, for everything they do, for all the service they render to you and to all of us. Bless the ladies among us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.